So good to see everybody. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. All right. Well, once again, we want to welcome everybody, and especially those of you who are watching online. We're blessed that you are joining us this morning. And if you need a Bible this morning, please raise your hand. Our ushers will make sure that you can follow along, with us. And if you do not have one, please consider that a gift from us to you. And while you're turning there, I just want to share this with you. We have also our men's Bible studies that will begin on February 2nd. And so, men, I want to encourage you to be a part of these studies. God's doing some great things within our men's ministry. Just a short history. We started off with doing quarterly breakfast, and then it turned into monthly breakfast. And then it was time for us to start meeting on a regular basis for Bible studies and just meeting throughout the middle of the week. And guys, I can't tell you how important it is. It's one of those key essential things for you to meet with other brothers, get into the Word, and grow together as men. So please, I'm encouraging you to sign on up. They're going through Warren Wiersbe's book called Be Mature, and I think all of us need to do that, right? So join up and be a part of that. And then also, we have an opportunity to really support our youth ministry, and they are getting ready to take a missions trip to Mexico. And that mission trip will be happening during their break, their spring break. But they're having a fundraiser dinner on February 2nd at 6:30 p.m. And again, it is to help cover the cost. There's, you know, flights that they need to purchase and materials for the ministry that they'll be doing. They have a few work projects scheduled to minister to church families there and just doing children's ministry skits and so forth. And so there's some added cost to that. But if you are led by the Lord, sign up for it. Be a part of it. It'll be here at the church, and they'll be serving Twinkies. So you'll get blessed. I'm just kidding. They'll have a good meal for you. But please, let's remember, what a blessing to see our youth going out, right? Instead of sitting down and watching movies and playing video games, they're wanting to go out and serve the Lord. So we want to encourage that. So as much as you can, yes, be a part of it. This other thing I want to share with you is pretty funny. Of course, last Sunday, I made a comment about country music. And so I've received a few emails of you sending me your favorites, and praise the Lord, God bless you, but it didn't work. Still not a fan. And so I just thought that was funny. Anyways, I'm going to stop sharing with you what I don't like. But if you can, please stand with me this morning. We're going to pick up in our study, Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 10, a couple of verses, pray again, and just ask the Lord to take over. All right? Everyone there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. You observe days and months and seasons and years, and I'm afraid for you lest I have labored for you in vain. Father, we come before you again, and we do ask that you, Lord, would show us the truth behind this letter. Will you help us see the importance of loving our brothers and sisters well by having a concern for their spiritual well-being? I pray that we as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, God, would continue to lean on you, that our lives would literally be transformed from the inside out, and that we today, God, would walk in the truth that you show us. The things that you are teaching us, may it not just be head knowledge. God, we want what we learn of you to be applied to our life. And when we do that, that's when our light shines. That's when this world will see we love you and that we belong to you. So bless this time now as we get into your word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So last week, as we looked at the first few verses of chapter 4, Paul wanted the churches in Galatia to see the blessings that we have when it comes to placing our faith in Christ Jesus. And so for anyone who believes in the finished work of the cross, Paul listed about four different things. And number one was that they are called sons of God. That we have the privilege of being a part of God's family now. No longer in darkness, but we've been brought into his marvelous light. We are now brothers and sisters in Christ. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, we are family. All right. I'm not done. Turn back to them and say, deal with it. We are family. And beloved, I pray that you would know how awesome it is to be a part of God's family. Amen. Okay? It is a blessing. And the other thing Paul helped us to see is that we've all been baptized into Christ. And this was not speaking of water baptism. It's speaking of a spiritual baptism. It is talking about being born again. How when every one of us have made a confession of faith, that God's living spirit now dwells within us. And we are now spiritually alive. He went on to say that we're one body. That one is not greater than the other. And we pray that we would remember this as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. It is so important that we as a church understand and know we're all going to be growing in different levels in our walk with the Lord. So don't think that you're more spiritual than others. You know what I am reminded of when we were at this, I went to a conference this last week, and one of the pastors was saying this. He said, when you look at the cross, all of us are on ground level. So don't ever think that we're more important or because we have a title or because we serve that we're more spiritual. The truth of the matter is that we're all running the same race. And so we want to encourage each other and build each other up. And God shows no favoritism, and so neither should we. The other thing that we were discovering is that those who put their faith in Christ are a part of the blessing from Abraham's seed and become heirs of this promise of the one who was to come, which is Jesus. And so what a blessing that the Lord has opened up this door for us to now enter into a right relationship with God, that we would be reconciled, reconnected with God because of Jesus' death and his resurrection. And we actually looked at this amazing blessing in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. But then the other things that Paul went on to explain before we wrapped up was this. He shared with us once again the purpose of the law, and it was because Jesus needed to come and redeem us. It was important for us to see that the law served a purpose. It was given to us for a time. It's important for us to understand the gospel of grace, which means that we believe in Christ's finished work on the cross. We can have our sins forgiven. We don't have to do anything to earn this relationship with God. And for those of you who ever thought, I got to do something in order for God to love me or gain favor and enter into heaven, listen, that's wrong thinking. That's wrong theology. According to the scriptures, it is through grace alone. It is God's grace. It is his gift to us. And when we receive gifts, there's really nothing that you do to deserve it. And so Paul was being able to show us these things and reconnect us back to God. And as we get ready to pick up now, we're going to continue to see Paul defend the gospel of grace. He's going to, as a good shepherd in a sense, direct God's sheep back to Jesus because they've been deceived. And I know that Paul is going to show, and we're going to read some frustration as we continue to go on through this letter. But one of the things that I pray, even in the midst of his frustration, that you would understand and know that Paul is not giving up on the church. Okay? This is important for us to see because as we walk with the Lord, we are going to experience some brothers and sisters who we know may be walking with the Lord. And the Bible tells us in the end times, there are going to be many who fall away. And I pray that we would see Paul's heart here through this. so that way when it happens, we would know how to respond as well. And so it's amazing to see Paul goes into protection mode and he wants to guard this church or guide this church back to Jesus. So let's jump in verse 10. Notice again in verse 11, I'm going to read these two verses. You observe days and months and seasons and years, and I am afraid for you, lest I have labored in vain. Now the word observe here means to keep or maintain a tradition or a custom. And these special days and months and seasons and years, they're all found in the Mosaic Law. And so as they were to look into the law, they would include weekly Sabbaths. They would include all of the different feasts throughout the year. And I want us to remember that, again, the law was temporary. So all of these things that got put into place only served until Christ would come. And because Jesus did come into this world, because he did complete the work of redemption, there is no more need for sacrifices in the temple. And so I want us to see this because, again, we want the Bible to interpret the Bible and so that you know I'm not just giving you my opinion. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 10. You can turn to the right several books closer toward the end. It is right before the book of James. So if you hit James, you've gone too far. But Hebrews chapter 10, I want to read verse 11 up to verse 18. Notice what it says. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So Jesus, once and for all, his death on the cross fulfilled all of the law. So there was no more need for them to do any more of these sacrifices. So Paul's concern was this, that the church was moving from the grace of God to now going back under the law, being turned backwards. Instead of moving forward in their relationship with the Lord, they're moving backwards. And of course, in verse 11, Paul says, I fear that all of the ministry, all of the things that I labored with you in the very beginning was for nothing. And I want you to understand this because Paul's heart here was enough to speak up and not be silent. Not only did he have a deep concern, but everything that he had put into motion to help them go forward has come to a halt. And so now he wants to, again, redirect them. And as frustrating as he may have been, their behavior, their way of thinking, and now turning away from grace. Listen, Paul had every right to shake off the dust of his foot and move on. But that's not what we see him doing. Out of love, he's willing to speak up. You know, one of the things that I've shared with you before, and I'll say it again, I know, and I'm not saying this proudly, okay, but I know that there's going to be a time, maybe one day, when I say something that will offend you, okay? And I'm open. Listen, my door is open. I want you to approach me. If there are things that have been said or maybe things that maybe you didn't take properly or maybe I didn't even communicate it rightly, and that could happen. You know, I'm not perfect. No, not even that. But listen, I tell you, if you're going to approach me with a concern or with something, this is how I want you to approach me. Pastor, you know I love you, right? Because, again, if you start off with love, then my heart is prepared to open and receive what you got to say. If you come up to me with attitude, okay, I may respond back with attitude, okay? No, I won't, I promise. But I might, I'm human. But if we, again, think of the person that's standing before you, and if you and I love each other enough, then we're going to not allow differences or disagreements to interfere with our relationship. So Paul is saying here, man, I love you too much to let this keep happening. I need to speak the truth to you. I'm not giving up on you. Though I have every right to move on, I'm not going to do that. And so, again, though he may be frustrated, what happens to this intense concern that Paul has? It turns into a plea. And I want you to see this in verses 12 to 15. Notice what he says. Let's go back to Galatians. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. And my trial, which was my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear witness you that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So here comes the heart of a shepherd, his love, Paul's love being demonstrated here. And his concern turns into a plea. Brethren, I urge you to become like me. Now I know what many of you are thinking. We're not to follow a man. But I want us to understand what Paul meant by this. Paul was begging, pleading with the church to imitate, to copy him, because Paul was committed to following Jesus. So he was saying, basically, in the same way that I've committed to Jesus, I'm desiring you to follow in that same pattern. My life is committed to Christ, and I want you to remember what he said to us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I want to just read it to you really quickly. He says this, "For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." This is what Paul meant when he said, follow, you know, imitate me, or I beg you, become like me. Paul was willing, after that confession of faith and him giving his life, Paul is saying, I'm living in freedom in Christ now. I'm not living under the law. And what is important is, he goes, I want you as a church to do the same. I want you to experience this freedom even more. And I want you to think about this, because again, they were deceived into thinking that by doing these things, keeping these special days, that they would earn God's favor. The point that Paul has been making, there is nothing in the law that is going to change you or save you. It's not going to work. And so his main point, again, it's all through faith that we have this amazing relationship with God. Don't go backwards. Grow in the grace of God. And so he says, not only do I want you to become like me, but I also became like you. So what did Paul mean by this? He wanted the churches to know at one point in his life, listen, I was right where you were at. I've been down that road. Listen, how many of you have ever maybe shared something that you're going through as a struggle, and the person that's across of you is looking at you like, can't relate? You ever had that happen? You know, one of the things that blows me away is that to some degree, it can be true. But I've also seen where God uses a person who has nothing in common, and yet God fills that person with the Spirit, and then he uses them to minister to something that they're kind of never walked through before. Let me give you an example, okay? We can say amen to this, but your pastor has never had any problems with drugs. Amen. That was a little weak, but that was good. And for 5 years, Marisa and I ministered at a women's rehab center where they were battling with drugs. And we would go there every Sunday morning, and though I did not have any issues with alcohol or drugs, I saw God use his word to bring healing, to help me connect dots for these ladies, even though I may not have never struggled with it. And so God has the capability of doing that. But when he says, I became like you, I want you to remember that in the book of Philippians, Paul shared more of his testimony. And this is what he said. I was a true Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was the elite one, pure. He went on to say, I was a Pharisee. I belonged to the most strictest religious group of the day. Those who had to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. Any takers? Anybody want to try that? He went on to say this. You want to talk about having zeal? I actually tried to destroy the church. I thought I was doing God a favor by hunting down believers. And then he went on to say, righteousness, which is of the law. He says, I was blameless. Paul was basically describing that anything that he did, nobody could have ever found fault in him. And what is amazing, he says, all of these things I accomplished before coming to Christ, he went on to say this, I count them all as a loss. Every achievement, everything that I've ever done to perfection in a sense, cannot compare to what my life now is in Christ. That my love for Jesus has grown, and it's not because of my accomplishments. It's not because I'm checking off this to-do list. It's because I have a genuine love for God, and I believe in what Jesus did, and I believe that his Holy Spirit is in me, and I believe that he is the one who's going to guide my life and teach me how to live for him. So he says, I once was there, but here is the truth, church. This is what I want you to see. Jews and Gentiles are alike. And in what way? They both need Jesus. Both Jews and Gentiles are all sinners in need of a Savior. And so when we look at what Paul is saying here, he anchors down again on this truth. You want to be justified before God? You want to grow in that process of sanctification? There's only one way it happens, and it's through faith and not the law. And so I want us to, again, turn our Bibles to Ephesians this time, chapter 2. Notice this, just a couple of pages over. Notice what verse 11 through 13 tells us. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision. What does that mean? Those who were uncircumcised were Gentiles. Those who were circumcised were Jews. Now notice what he says. By what is called the circumcision, notice this, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now notice this. He says here, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens. You were outsiders. But because of your faith, what happened? You're no longer outsiders. You now become one. You become a part of that family. And so what I want us to see here is this. Paul, again, is stressing this. And not only is he stressing this, but he says here, you haven't injured me. What does he mean by this? In other words, your decision and what you're doing, you're stepping away from God's grace and following the law. Your actions do not affect me. Do not affect my relationship with God because you're not persuading me to change. But what is he saying also? The only person that you're really hurting is yourself. The only person that is going to have a bad outcome of this is you. Because you have received and been deceived into thinking your works will gain you God's favor. You see, again, their decision to follow the law, it didn't affect Paul, but what it did do was break his heart. It broke his heart because, again, remember with me, Paul was the one who planted these churches. Paul was the one who, again, shared the gospel, and he watched God do a miracle in their lives. He watched them change and be transformed, and now they're turning away from that. And here's where Paul wants to draw their attention back to. He wants to draw them to that first time that they met. Let's go back down and remember how all of this began. Notice verse 13. You know that because of my physical infirmity, I preached to you at first. In other words, when Paul first arrived in Galatia, he was sick. He was struggling with some kind of physical illness, and we don't know exactly what it is. Many scholars believe that he caught malaria throughout his first missionary journey, and it's very possible. But we don't know for sure, but what we do know, according to this portion of scripture, is he had a problem with his eyes. He couldn't see very well. And so, though I came to you, and the very first appearance was probably not all that great. Listen, I don't know if you guys noticed me limping a little bit this morning. I am struggling right now. I got bit by a scorpion this morning. And so my leg feels like it's falling asleep. And so I'm trying to shake it a little bit to keep it awake and not let it bother me. But it feels like a bunch of little pins. It doesn't hurt. Thank God. I'm loaded up with ibuprofen. But it's one of those things, none of us look good when we're sick. Come across a person who has a pinched nerve in their back or their neck, they're not happy. Come across somebody who's battling with the flu, their hair's not brushed, they're just looking like they got ran over by a truck, coughing everywhere, and everybody's kind of like, how about those who are just having sinus problems and everything's just kind of going everywhere? We don't know exactly what was going on with Paul, but whatever it was, he's all like, I didn't look all that great to you when I arrived. I was sick as a dog. And yet, he says, I preached the gospel to you. My heart was to give you the truth of who God is so that you could experience this blessing of having a right relationship with God. And when I did this, even in my illness in verse 14, even though my appearance wasn't favorable, what did they do? They didn't ignore him. They didn't despise him. They didn't reject him. But Paul went on to say this, though my outward appearance could have been a distraction to you, they didn't mistreat him, but they actually received him as if he was an angel of God or even Christ himself. Let that sink in, because again, though he may not have looked the part, though he may not have had maybe the eloquent language at that moment, maybe he was just maybe a little bit off on his preaching, but yet what happened? They were able to look beyond that. They received this message and they received Paul as a divine messenger of God. They were able to, again, believe, and this is important, that God sent him, that what he preached was a message from God. And so this is how not only did they receive him, but in verse 15, he says this, you literally welcomed me. And what I can bear witness to, what the truth that I can tell you about when I recall how we first met is this. You not only welcomed me and you received the gospel, but you were even willing to sacrifice your own eyes for me. the issues that I had going on, if you possibly could have pulled out your eyes and given them to me, I can testify today, you would have done that. This is the love that was happening between them when he first came. So now let's pick up in verse 16 to 18. Notice what it says back in Galatians. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, not only when I am present with you. And I want you to see this because it's important. Paul goes from having a deep concern to pleading to the church. And now in these next verses, he again speaks genuinely out of love. In verses 16 to 18, Paul wanted to ask the church this question. And what would it be? Where's the love? Where's the love that we had in the very beginning? Because again, everything that I just expressed is the truth. And because now I'm sharing with you what I see from the outside, you're going to treat me as if I'm an enemy now because I speak the truth to you? I hope and pray that we would see this because again, I believe with all my heart, as the Lord tarries, I believe some of us in this room are going to have those difficult conversations. You're going to see somebody that you care about maybe starting to believe in other doctrines that are out there. Maybe they're going to put their faith in other things. And just like Paul, if you love them, it's going to hurt. It's going to break your heart. And the truth is that Paul was willing to speak up. He wasn't going to remain silent about it. What was he going to do? Continue to preach the gospel. Continue to point them to the truth in order for the truth to set them free, not Paul. Paul can't do anything for anybody. Neither can you or I. Conversion only takes place because God is the one who does it. And so here is what I want us to see. I'm going to speak truth to you. This is Paul's way of saying, I'm going to speak truth to you. I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong. But then I'm also going to point out who these false teachers really are. I want you to see their fruit. And so in verse 17, he now goes into they, speaking of these false teachers and these Judaizers that crept into the church. They were quick to win their ear. They were quick to be zealous and court them, to woo them away. Fellas, you remember when you saw that one person that, you know, you were admiring? You tried to walk by her really cool-like, trying to woo her, trying to get her attention. If you didn't do that, I don't know what to tell you, but did I tell you that when I first met Marisa, she chased me? She kept following me everywhere. It was the exact opposite. He says, those false teachers were quick to get your ear, and it was for no good reason. What was Paul wanting them to see? They came to you preaching a different gospel, and he said this back in chapter 1, that there is only one gospel, and if I or an angel or anybody else comes to you preaching to you anything different that you've already heard, let them be accursed. Paul included himself to help every one of us see how important it is to understand there is only one way to be right with God. And when we look at this, Paul is saying here, these guys came in teaching you a different gospel, which is not another gospel. You received it. And then what happened? They kept telling you more and more in order what you needed to do to be saved. They are trying to get you to, again, be pulled away, listen to them. They're wanting to shut me out of being a voice in your life and to keep you from the true gospel. And this is what Paul said in verse 18. It is good for you to be zealous in good things. In other words, what did Paul want the churches to know? It's good for you to be encouraged by people. It's good for you to have other people in your life speaking to you and pointing you to Jesus. So Paul is not here being, you know, jealous or trying to be controlling over the church here. His encouragement to them was, wherever you can be encouraged, go for it. It's good to grow in your relationship with God. But he also wanted them to understand this, that these false teachers were confusing them. That these false teachers, when it says excluding them, that word shut out is what we can put in. You are being pulled away. You are being shut away from God's truth. And now you're being placed under the law once again. So what is the truth? You're moving backwards and not forward. These false teachers were only concerned about looking good as well as adding to their group. Look at how many converts we have had. You know, one of the things that I've discovered, that there's been many times when people come knocking at my door and they are there to share of their faith. It could be a Jehovah's Witness. It could be an LDS Mormon or a missionary. It could even be other people who have other faiths that we come across. You know, I literally got stopped in Walmart one day and somebody said, "Do you believe in Mother God?" It's like, "No, I don't." But I've discovered that some of these people that I engage in with conversation, some of them are very genuine. They're very caring and loving in the way that they express what they believe. But then there are times when there are other ones who are very arrogant. And there are ones that will say, "Well, you know, that's kind of cute what you believe, but let me tell you what you really need to know." And it is amazing to me how many of these false religions are more concerned about numbers than they really are about souls. And Paul says these guys have come in, tickled your ear, influenced you to believe that by doing these things, it's going to make you more spiritual or gain more favor with God. And the reality, that's false. That's a lie. And I'm here to tell you what they're doing. I want you to see it. I'm not here to have control. I'm not here to tell you who you can listen to. But I will tell you this. Anybody who does not point you to Jesus, avoid. Stay away. And you're going to hear many voices. You're going to hear many people. There's so many different religions out there. But what separates Christianity versus religion? Religion is work-based. Christianity is all about relationship. And so Paul wanted to make sure that these churches knew exactly, not only are you turning away from grace, but I want you to have an insight to who these false teachers are. They are pulling you away from the truth, and I'm here to speak up. Again, out of love. And even if it meant that they would look at Paul as an enemy. You know, one of the things that Maurice and I have been learning these last several years as empty nesters, we as parents will always be parents. And there's times right now where I would want to put my kids in time out, but I can't. But what amazes me is that God is helping us to see, to coach from the sideline, to be available. And our kids know, you come to us, our message isn't going to change. We're going to continue to give you the truth. We're going to continue to point you to the scriptures. We're going to continue to call you out if we see things in your life that aren't happening, because we love you enough to say something. And again, because of Paul's heart and love for these churches, listen, how do we see his heart and this genuine love? Notice verse 19 to 20. He says this, "My little children, for whom I have labored in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you." And so as he's, again, sharing his heart, though he may be frustrated, notice how he addresses them. My little children, those of you, you're dear to me. He didn't say, listen up, you idiots. He didn't say, what's the matter with you guys? He addressed them as his little children. And notice this, for whom I labored in birth. Notice the word again. Where's the love in this? What is Paul really saying? Listen, the first time you received. Now, just as a woman that's going into, you know, having those birth pains before they deliver, there's going to be many of them. I'm willing to go through that with you. I'm willing to invest. I'm willing to labor again so that your life will be conformed to Christ. See, there's love right there. There is a love that Paul is demonstrating, and it's a love that says, though I may not be happy with you, I still love you, and I'm going to continue to point you to the truth. I'm going to continue to direct you to the one who can save you. I'm going to continue, listen, to challenge you to trust in the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. I'm going to continue to point to you the very scriptures that have helped me live a life committed to Christ. And he says, I wish I could do this in person. And I just want to share this with you really quickly. When these difficult conversations need to happen, back then they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have email addresses. And as a matter of fact, it took probably a long time for them to get their mail. But today, whenever you are faced with a difficult conversation, this is my encouragement to you. This is my advice to you. Don't do it through email. Don't do it through a text message. As much as possible as it is, have a face-to-face conversation with somebody. Because when you are face-to-face with somebody, you can then see the heart, you can see the attitude, you can see everything. And if there's going to be genuine love, that conversation is going to go a whole lot better compared to just ranting and rage. Like, I accidentally hit the all caps button. And immediately the response was, why are you mad at me? I'm sorry, it was my finger hit the wrong button. I'm not mad at you. Whoa, you know, misread. How many of us have ever misread an email? Or how many of us have had the problem where you know what you want to write, but your fingers don't agree with it? Right? So before you hit that send button, you better read it again. But as much as possible, dealing with difficulty is always best face to face. Don't do it through email. Don't do it through a text message. Love your brother and sister enough to say, I love you, and I want to work through a couple of things so that way there's nothing hindering our relationship. Let's get together. And out of love, let's hash this out. Let's go through this together. And let's walk away being at peace with each other. See, that's the biblical way to handle it. And though Paul would have loved to have been there, and because of the distance, the only thing that he could have done was continue to write in this letter. And I want us to see this because I believe this is a great, not only stopping point for us, but let me ask us this question today. Here's a takeaway for us. Do you have a deep concern for those who have turned away from the gospel of grace? Is there anybody in your life right now who may have been walking with the Lord and now they're no longer here? They're nowhere to be found. And if we know them, my encouragement to you is this: reach out to them. Hey, this is so and so. Hope and pray you're doing well. I haven't seen you in a while. Love you. Not, where have you been? Not, are you in sin? Not, Why are you hiding from me? Just simple, I love you, man, miss you, or is everything okay? Reach out. One of the things that we can walk away with today is this: if you have a deep concern for somebody, don't rant, don't share it with other people. Do what Paul did. He's addressing them personally. So don't let your concerns become a gossip thing, but let your concerns become a prayer thing. How often are you praying for those who have fallen away? How often have you asked God, Lord, open up the door for me to have this divine appointment with them? How many of us have ever experienced a misunderstanding and yet it took 3 to 4 months to figure it out and you missed out on that time of being with one another? And let me tell you, I've seen it where families have held grudges and the time that it gets resolved is when somebody dies. And at that point, they don't even remember why they were mad at each other. Is that how you express love? I hope not. I hope that we, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord and we mature, that any of our concerns, we would take them to the Lord, that we would ask the Lord to give us the wisdom and the ability to have those divine appointments to meet with people. And here's the next challenge, that when you do meet, make sure that you speak out of love. Make sure that you are being led by the Lord and not your own emotions. Because anybody who has the willingness to confront somebody face to face, and please understand, there's a proper way of doing this. But when you are led by the Lord, this is what's going to happen. God is going to tame your countenance. God is going to take that look. My wife says, disconnect the eyebrows, Jerry. When God leads me and he's given me the words to speak, no matter how painful a conversation may need to be, I could sit down across that person and say, this is what God's given me. I prayed, I sought him, and this is what I feel I need to share with you. And when we walk away from a conversation like that, again, remember I said, you approach me, what helps me? You know I love you. And that helps me how you're coming to me. That helps me to understand, okay, there's something that we need to work out and I'm willing to do that. But if we love each other enough, number one, pray for each other. Number two, be willing to meet with one another. Number three, be willing to pray and let God lead the conversation, not you. Number four, be willing to follow up and say, even though we may disagree, you're still my brother or sister in the Lord. We're family. Now, I know that there's a difference between the way guys make up and girls make up. Guys can just do a fist bump and everything's cool. Don't need to discuss anything. We already know what we're going to say. Ladies, you take a little bit longer. But however longer it takes, just let the Lord lead it. Remember, the common goal is restoration, not finger pointing. So may God help us all today extend love, look after each other, help each other. We're all running the same race. And if we can do that together as the body of Christ, God is going to do some amazing things within this fellowship once again. And one of the beauties that we're going to see happen is that more relationships are going to grow and mature. Why did Paul write this letter? What was his main purpose? Because I love you enough to speak truth into your life. And I want to see you grow and mature in your relationship with God. That's what matters to me more than just putting a notch on my belt saying, I'm the one who led you to the Lord. I care more about your soul than I do about what church you go to. And I'm here to tell you today There are many good Bible teaching churches out there, but there are also some wolves out there, some false teachers. So if anybody ever invites you to a church service, by all means, be polite. You can visit. No one's going to call you and say, "Where were you? Why didn't you come to Calvary?" Just because we have cameras, we're not doing that, okay? But I will tell you this. You step foot in a church and they preach to you any other gospel, I'm challenging you. Get up and walk out. We are to be led by the Spirit. And the only way that we're going to be led by the Spirit is when you get to know the Spirit. And how do you get to know the Spirit? By spending time with Jesus. And that Spirit that He has given us will lead us into all truth. And so today, I pray that we would love each other enough to see how Paul handled this. Worship team, come forward. Paul went from an intense concern to a plea, to a prayer. And from a prayer, he spoke truth. And when he spoke truth, people were allowed to see, "My greatest concern is to see you grow closer to Jesus." May that be our heart today. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time. I want to thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that you would continue to help us as all of us are walking with you, as all of us are growing and in different levels in our walk with you. God, may we extend grace and mercy to each other. And in those times of difficulties, may we also see how we should handle those difficulties. Not cut people off, not cancel them on our social media, not ignore them, not go to a different service, but out of love be willing to sometimes have those difficult conversations. To love each other enough to not let a miscommunication hinder an amazing relationship with one another. And so I pray, God, lead us in how to do this. May we love each other with that same kind of love. May you continue to build up and walk before us. And that our lives, once again, would be transformed into the image of Christ. That we would mature. That we would let this world know that we love you, Jesus. So go before my brothers and sisters. Strengthen them today by pouring out your Spirit upon them. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to give an invitation to those who are here. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Maybe you also believe that you have to maybe get yourself cleaned up or straight or whatever before coming to Jesus. And that's not the truth. The truth is, Jesus said, "Come to me as you are. I'm the one who's going to clean you up. I'm the one that's going to help you change. All you need to do is come." And when you come, God desires to wrap his arms around you and extend love to you. And when he does that, our response should be confessing. Our response should be receiving that hug and being able to say, "Lord, I've sinned against you. And I want to be forgiven. I want to enter this relationship with you." And when we do that, he will be faithful and just, not only to forgive us our sins, but to cleanse us, to open up that opportunity for us to become a part of his family, and to receive the greatest gift ever, which is eternal life. And if this is you this morning and you want to receive this gift, just slip up your hand and it would be an honor to pray for you this morning. I don't want you to delay. I don't want you to worry about who sees your hand going up. I just want you to know today that God loves you, and so do we. We desire for you to know Jesus, for you to grow in Jesus, and for you to receive this amazing gift called everlasting life. This is not an invitation to join our church. This is an invitation to receive that gift of salvation that God desires for all to have. So one more minute. Anyone else here in this room who would want to receive Christ today, just slip up your hand. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning. And we pray that as we worship you as a family, that we would continue to worship you outside of this building. Lord, may you fill us more with you, and that as we walk with you, we would walk not only in obedience, but in complete surrender, desiring for your will to be done. So Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for meeting with us. Now help us throughout our week to apply these things that you are teaching us today. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I want to encourage you today, if you need any prayer this morning, we're going to have an amazing prayer team up front. And as you go throughout your week, continue to pray for those that you know who have strayed away, and ask God for those divine appointments that you can meet up and extend some love to those that you care about. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.